Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sweet One, episode 16 of the Nerd Badge Podcast.
That's eight times two.
We did eight episodes twice. Technically, six and seven were the same, but I mean, it's just. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Michael Quinn. Welcome to the Nerd Badge Podcast. We're going to have a great conversation today because we're going to split this up into two different subjects. We gave everyone enough amount of time. We're going to talk about Deadpool and Wolverine. Some of you may not have seen it yet, and that is your damn fault. But we're going in. Also, we're talking about one thing that people always love, no matter how bad it is, Spider-Man movies. Yeah, exactly. Keep a shirt, rocking it.
It's because it's such a good love story.
We're going to go into some things from the comics that transferred over to the movies, which has been a lot in the past like 5 years. We're going to talk about things that we love, things we don't love, all the shenanigans in between hand. And about that, we're going to talk about some people. Because right now, if you're listening on Spotify, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you don't know who's in the studio right now. But if you're watching, like we normally do, we release it a week later on YouTube, so you get to see all of our silly mannerisms.
We're normal. You don't know what we're doing.
So what we're going to do is give you guys the YouTube, Nerd Badge Podcast, Instagram, Nerd Badge Podcast. On TikTok, Nerd Badge Podcast. We're everywhere. You can't get away from us. So let me introduce our panel for tonight. We're going to be talking to, first off, my co-host, my buddy, my boo bear, my rafter machine. ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, RJ.
Woo!
Give it up, RJ. Everybody, sitting this, RJ. Next, little miss, I just came back from Israel. She had a great time sending pictures and everything like that, and she's still with us. Great time. We're going to talk about that maybe a little bit.
I came back safely. I wasn't sure about that.
Exactly. Great times all across. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Susie.
Woo!
Yay. Also, actress and comedian and
survivor.
And hostess of the Chrysler Mansion, which we're going to be doing again this year, which is going to be great. So, and to her right, the president of One Division Pro.
Woo!
The man behind the power. The man because you make the power, bro. That's what it is. You make the shots. You make the calls. The man who is known and affectionately loved as Prince Atiba.
Oh.
Woo!
Yay.
And comedian and pro wrestler and blah, blah, blah.
Yes,
blah, blah.
And some other stuff. Who knows?
So, ladies and gentlemen, first off, we're going to go into one hot button topic that I wanted to. We talked about it lightly on the last one, but we kind of like held back because it was so fresh. Deadpool.
Yeah.
Dum. So I didn't get a chance to gloat, but mother effer was I right
about
the I put up a clip of it. He's my witness. I think you were here too.
Well, we watched it together. We all watched the movie together.
Well, but were you here? Oh, you were here at the episode too. That's right. Yeah. So we made our predictions, bro. I was so effing right, and I say this with humility in my voice. I was so right, and I am so good at predicting these movies. And I don't mean like in like the essence of like, oh, you know, it's gonna end like this. No, like there were things in there that I in my deepest, darkest parts of my mind were like, oh, they're gonna kill Johnny Storm, and they did. And bro, it was so awesome. Like it was such a great thing to see. And we talked about it lightly last time when we talked about the Fantastic Four dying, which I think they're gonna kill Ben Grimm and Susan Storm some way or another, and it's gonna be like remember what they said in Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, right? When you die in a different dimension, it's someone else's nightmare or someone else's dream.
Oh yeah, that's
like
right.
When you dream. I'm sorry, when you dream and it's a different thing that happens to you. It's someone else's reality.
Yes.
So I wonder if like we're gonna get a scene with Fantastic Four just all waking up like, oh, I just had a dream that I died. You know, like. But I do feel like even with the Fantastic Four movie, like I said last time, it's going to be like a 60s, very innocent living style.
Like futuristic 60s.
Exactly.
Right?
And what's going to happen is they're going to see our reality and maybe their own deaths and be like, it's pretty crazy out there. Mm-hmm. One thing I noticed, though, is Reed Richards, when he was you guys saw the trailer. We officially
yes,
saw,
I
the,
saw
trailer.
The trailer.
Good. We all saw the trailer.
Someone, Jorge sent it to me.
Yeah. Hi, Jorge Santi.
Hi, Jorge.
You say hi to him. You don't know Jorge
Santi. I know
Santi.
I don't know him, but I know your name.
We bled with that man.
Affectionately known as Firebird.
So what happens is that, Yeah, so if you noticed, I noticed in the trailer that he's standing in front of the board and has like a whole big math equation. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big mather, if you will. But if you notice, it's kind of like in the realm of Selvig when in, remember in, what's it
in
called?
Thor, right?
Yeah, in Thor and in, who else did it too? Someone else did it too. I can't remember who it was, but they had like a board. I wonder if that's a mathematical equation
for
the multiverse. And now everyone's kind of figuring it out. Like, they have someone smart figuring out. Because you know what I think that might lead to, right? Council of Reeds.
Yes.
Yeah, buddy. So, I think...
The Maker.
Exactly. Exactly. We're going to get the reason why Doom switched with Tony Stark. And I think we're going to get that whole story elaborated from the Council of Reeds.
Yeah, because Stark's version of Doom could be from...
Sit closer to the microphone. You're doing it again.
Stark's version of Doom could be from the same dimension as the Maker.
Exactly.
Right?
So I wonder if that's... It could be.
Because if Reed's a villain there, maybe Doom was somewhat kind of a hero or a fallen hero or something.
So let's go back to the... Sorry, we got to get back on track.
Yes.
Let's talk about Deadpool versus Wolverine. Deadpool and Wolverine, because that movie had such great things inside of it. One of my favorite things is when we watched it, is when he bounced the sword off the ground right into the guy's head and went, keep my mother effing country out of your mother effing mouth.
I wonder what that was inspired by.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Right? Santa Claus. It was such a good. It was such a good part that it was just vibrant, like just bonk. Mm-hmm. So basically, the story is that Deadpool is meant to save the universe, but he doesn't know it yet. And what happens is, in the movie, he has to find he has to save his universe by finding an anchor being. So he goes back and tries to find a Wolverine who's the anchor being for his universe. Now, that's actually a running joke.
Who died?
Who was dead when he started throwing his adamantium bones all over the place in the beginning. So basically, the whole point was that Wolverine, just like in the comics, he's in everything. I thought that was a joke that they kind of threw out there because Wolverine was in the X-Men. Wolverine was in X-Force. Wolverine was in the Avengers. Wolverine is in the Defenders. I think he becomes part of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Alpha Flight.
He goes back to Alpha Flight. Team X. All that good stuff. So I felt like it was kind of like a nod to the comics where Wolverine is the guy. Like even in Civil War, the original comic, Wolverine kind of goes off on his own adventure. He doesn't take a side in it because he's trying to find Nitro, the guy who blows up Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
So I felt like even still then, he's still like an anchor story because he's moving along the story about damage control, about how they started the whole Civil War and blah, 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 and they used it to make money and this. So I think that was like a good way of bringing Wolverine back into like, it's like basically they hotshot him. Like he came out first matches at WrestleMania. That's the best way of saying it.
Is anchor beings already in the comics already?
No.
Because I was going to say, I don't remember ever hearing about this before.
I said this on the last episode. Not the last one, the last to last one. Was it the last one we did? We watched Deadpool and Wolverine?
Two episodes
ago. So I feel like it was very Doctor Who. Because like in Doctor Who, they have fixed points in time. So it's a point in time that cannot change because it needs to be there.
But it's not. But this time, instead of it being a point in time, it's an actual person.
Exactly.
Changed it up.
So I was always wondering, like, and I kind of read it, and it made a lot of sense. And I was always wondering myself, like, what did the anchor beings mean? Because I felt like it's a Marvel movie, so they're going to sit there and drop something early and then bring it back later on down the road. Anchor beings. Mm-hmm. I kind of thought about it, like, anchor being means something. They're just going to make that, especially for Hugh Jackman, to make it like this is a thing for him, you know? So it's going to revolve around a story. I wonder if they already wrote this for Kang, and I already thought about that. And then I looked it up, and they said this plot for Kang was that the Kangs were going to kidnap and store away or kill all the anchor beings.
Oh, okay.
Because they were the only ones who had access to the timeline. Hence why the one above all, the one in Loki, where he was sitting at the end, he was like, this is me. I'm the one who tells the story of the multiverse. And I was like, oh, okay. So maybe they're using those anchor beings to weaken universes where they feel like someone else is messing with the universe, or with the multiverse. Oh. It's their thing.
Similar to how they were like, what is he, detonate Molecule Man's in the story, right?
Yes.
So the anchor beings are in place of Molecule Man.
Exactly, So maybe that's how Doom gets his powers whenever he's like he unleashes all, whatever. But they said that basically the whole story was it was going to kill off a lot of the Marvel characters. Like they were going to get rid of all the D-list people that they kind of like, all right, the show sucks. And literally, that's what they were going to do. So they apparently were going to have this big three-piece war. And it was in one movie where the Kangs are in different places, and they send different teams of Avengers to go fight them. Captain America on one team. Sam Wilson is supposed to lead one team. I forgot where exactly where it was. I don't want to look it up and be a nerd. What's it called? The Nell team was supposed to fight against another Kang in space, and another one was supposed to fight another Kang somewhere else. I can't remember.
Probably Ramatut in Egypt.
Yeah, Ramatut in Egypt. That's actually what it was, yeah. And so apparently they're all supposed to lose. Like, all the Avengers teams supposed to lose, and only some of them survive. And then most of the characters on those teams die. So it was going to wipe out, like, most of the Marvel Universe that they built. So now, eventually, it was supposed to end in Battle World, apparently, which Doom comes out and blah, 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 because Doom and Kang have always had problems, but I don't know how that was going to exactly work, but that was the whole thing where Kang was taking all these anchor beings, and Wolverine, like I said, was the first one. So I kind of, I didn't get a chance to talk about it because, you know, we kind of kept our mouth shut about that movie. But how good was that freaking movie?
It's very good.
Very good.
Yeah. So entertaining.
The second best one.
Made a billion already.
Yeah, but it made $1 billion. And it's been out for like two
and it's a rated R movie, and it usually don't make a billion. I think Joker was the first to make a billion, and they passed Joker.
Yep.
It was really entertaining. It was very witty. I thought the adult humor was fantastic because it had like this passive-aggressive raunch, which I really liked because it wasn't like, it was like you had to really like pick it up and create it in your mind, and the different, and the cameos were fantastic.
Yes, cameos. I was going to talk about that later, but yeah, let's talk about it now. Screw it. My favorite cameo, I'm not, because the easy one to go to is the two. That's been all over social media, like,
oh, yeah.
I'm going to make the my bone on a bone. You know, but
my name is Jeff.
My name is Jeff. That'd be funny if he did that, if he came out of chat. Oh, my God, my name is Jeff. He's like Mexican Wolverine, you know what I mean? Like, it was the fact that that line was in there, I was like, that makes me fat, that makes me happy. My favorite cameo was... It sounds stupid. Sorry, my friend saying no to going to the beach. It was, damn it, stupid train of thought.
ADD is real.
It was Blade. It was easily Blade because, like, he was like the OG of the Marvel Universe. Yeah. And he started the Marvel first move, like, first Marvel Studios movie. Yeah, we had the X-Men. Yeah, we had Spider-Man. But he was the first ever real.
It was the first R one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
First superhero. Not the first Marvel character. Yeah, not you character. Know what the first was.
It was the
Howard
first
the Duck. Quack.
Yeah.
But wasn't Blade the first R rated Marvel?
Yeah, right.
It was definitely rated R.
You say it was the first of that one, and that changed the game.
So that's what I feel like was like a really game changer where people just bleeding and dying and all over the place. So it was a
perfect fit for that movie.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we had all those movies later on. We had Spider-Man or whatever, but Blade was like, it, you know what I mean, like so that was a really great thing to see Blade come back. I'm sorry, Jennifer Garner, you didn't get that send off, girl. Sorry, you didn't serve that.
I like her so much.
Your movies are trash.
Did you ever watch Elektra?
Oh my god,
I did a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, those movies are trash.
I know, I get it. It's,
was it a tattoo guy?
Yeah, it was a tattoo guy that makes his tattoos come off, whatever.
I am biased to Jennifer Garner, although she's I think she's beautiful.
Alias.
And like she's good. Okay, she was, Elektra, it was like Ben Affleck as Batman, okay? Let's all say that sometimes you're just not meant to be a superhero.
They literally could have picked anybody else for that role, and she was just so bad at it. I gotta admit, though, I'll give Daredevil its due. The most comic book accurate movie that ever came out.
I mean, her husband did divorce her and marry another Jennifer. So, like, actually twice. And now he's divorcing again.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hurtful.
Are they really, though? Or,
I don't know. I don't know. But that's hurtful. Don't marry somebody with my name. At least marry somebody with another name.
Exactly.
Is that why she didn't care that Daredevil was dead?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, not at all.
Plus, Ben Affleck was Daredevil. So
yeah, exactly. But he was horrible in that movie,
too. He was just
bad.
Yeah.
He was so default. There was nothing about him except for the glasses. He could have been like, it could have been like Goodwill Devil. You know what I mean? Like, bro, he was so bad. Like I did not feel like he was Matt Murdock at all.
No. Charlie Cox did a better job.
Oh, yes. God, yeah. Charlie Cox did a person who was blind and was affected by it. Ben Affleck was like,
that's why I was shocked that he
this
was
where you put
dead.
My money. Yeah. Yes.
Batman came after Daredevil.
Oh, God, he was horrible.
So, first, worst he Batman. Sucked at Daredevil.
Wait, he was the worst Batman?
He was definitely the worst Worst.
Clooney?
I would say Clooney.
Worse than Clooney.
But Clooney's so handsome.
I would say Clooney's the worst Batman, but not the worst Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
Bruce Wayne and Batman are two different characters.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. But at the same time, what's it called, was both the worst Batman and the worst.
No, I liked him as Batman because he was paranoid like the animated series Batman.
No, but like...
He came the closest to animated series Batman, not comic book Batman.
No.
You know what? Yes.
No, Christian Bale was... No, not Christian Bale. I'll take that back. No, Christian...
He even looked a Christian little bit
Bale,
like him.
I don't give a
Christian
shit.
Christian Bale is a pretty good Batman.
I like
Christian
him.
Bale was my favorite Batman. Everyone can go to hell if they don't like that.
Yeah, yeah, Bale and Keaton are like there for me.
Keaton.
I like Keaton.
I did like Kilmer.
Ben Affleck, Michael Keaton. No. That's the pecking order.
What about Val Kilmer?
Val Kilmer. I'd rather take Val Kilmer. You know why? Because Val Kilmer was actually looked like a dude who could mess you up.
He looked too...
he was Mr. Nanny. I said this before in the podcast, and you can go back and quote me.
Did.
He looked like he was out of shape, and he just rolled out of bed and became Batman. Dude, he looked like Sasquatch just...
But he hung upside down by his feet in the first one.
That's my next point. Name one other time that Batman has ever done that. Hey, wait a minute. Wait,
he's
you're a
bat.
Billionaire and you're hanging upside down like a bat?
A
oh, my God.
He's a bat.
In
he's
front
a
of people.
Bat and he's a man.
Exactly. He's a man who's a bat.
Wow.
So that's why he took care of some business with, what's her name?
Vicky Vale.
Vicky Vale. And then he hung upside down.
See? I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly.
It's perfect.
get the blood back to the head. I'm sorry, that was just hurt. The first one was bad. I love the second one. I love the
Batman
second
Returns.
One. Batman Returns?
Batman Returns was fantastic.
You know what Batman Returns gave us, right? Batman animated series. That's
Yeah. Because they didn't want to chance it on the movie because they were like, that's too stupid, whatever. Uh-huh. And the first one also gave us what? Batman the Ride.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, buddy.
Yep.
But back to like.
Also I'm not going to lie. When I
when your feet dangle?
Two things I thought is.
Everyone lost a flip flop.
You never lost a flip flop. You're out of your mind.
Yeah.
It was a test. Everyone did it. Yo, give me your flip flops. What? Give me your flip flop.
They must have like a pile of shoes somewhere.
Yes.
Like,
oh, they do.
They do. They definitely have them like nailed on the wall.
They resell them at the gift shop.
Yeah, they say shoes. One shoe, get you one shoe.
You have 15 minutes to pick it up at the Lost and Found.
One shoe, get your one shoe right here. Got it right here. Flip flop. I got your flip flop. I got your Jordans.
But back to Ben Affleck just for one second.
Wait, 1 second. I just want to tell you one thing. No, I'm not kidding about this. When I was a kid, you know when you see like at the door and it says in the bathroom and it has like the image of a guy, an image of a girl, and a dress. When I was a kid, I used to think the image of a girl was not a girl in a dress. I thought it was literally a place for superheroes to go to the bathroom.
To change.
You thought it was a cape.
Because I thought it was a cape.
You thought it was a cape. Uh-huh. I've seen the
so you just thought that there were no women bathrooms everywhere.
Basically.
Yeah, I was like, only for men are superheroes. Or did
they
he
figure
think
it out,
women,
you know? Like,
or did he think women are superheroes?
Or the I just thought all...
That's or the handicapped bathroom where I thought it was just a person sitting down with a big ass.
Not a pregnant woman? I thought it was a pregnant woman.
That was a dunk.
Handicapable.
Handy pregnant.
Handy. Cat.
It was round.
Round. Booty girl. Or booty man. Who knows?
That's funny.
Brutus beefcake.
That's funny. My favorite thing, too, is we're not making fun of the handicapped people here, but...
We're just making fun of people with big butts.
Exactly.
We're really just making fun of the signs.
Yeah, exactly. We're making fun of the signs, the people who developed the signs, not the people who were afflicted by them. But who the hell designed a new wheelchair thing, the wheelchair sign? Wait. You see them on the ground? Because you're really like the wheelchair person. And be like, they're sitting straight up like this. But now they're like...
They're
like leaning forward. They're like, I got this. Like, what are you racing to, bro? Like
the Paralympics.
There is a reason to race.
Naruto running, but in a wheelchair.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
If Naruto had a bad accident.
Rock Lee. Paralyzed little. I love that little bowl cut. Back to Wolverine Deadpool. So Wolverine Deadpool, the Anchor Beings. So the Anchor Beings, we went way off track.
We always do.
We got to finish this up very quickly because we got to get to Spider-Man still. So
Spider-Man.
So the best thing was that people don't realize about Deadpool and Wolverine was like all the inside jokes that were happening. So I thought it was me, and I didn't want to say anything at first, but you do realize when he was talking about the big guy doesn't make cameos, do you know who he was talking
Stark,
about?
Stark, right?
Yeah, he was talking about Stark. Uh-huh. So
love.
Yeah. So he was talking about Stark not making cameos, or whatever. So I wonder if this is just me wondering. Was he supposed to do something in a movie and then they cut him out because of the whole Doom thing?
Yes.
Really?
He was supposed to be Lucky Spot.
Wait,
but I don't know if it was because of the whole Doom thing or they just decided it wasn't going to work the spot. So he was supposed to have Lucky Spot and be actually interview in Deadpool beforehand.
Oh, damn it. I know Brie Larson's pissed.
Oh, yeah.
So
because that scene took place before he died. From the snap.
It took before the snap.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. That would have been cool.
The whole thing is that apparently Brie Larson, who was really pissed off and trying to, apparently, someone said the rumor is she's going to try and sue for whatever because they keep.
Who and what?
Because there was a scene with her and Natasha, whatever her name is, who plays.
Romanoff, right?
No. Who plays She-Hulk. Apparently, they're like. Like berating Deadpool, like your language is so bad, it's so toxic and male, blah 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 blah. And then they tested it with audiences, and they were like, "That scene absolutely sucks. Why is this in the movie?" So they cut it. So now apparently,
They were in it.
They were in it, and then She-Hulk was supposed to have like a fourth wall moment as well. And they shot it and everything. It's all done. And then what's it called? She's supposed to have a fourth wall moment with Deadpool, and then they cut that.
That would have been cool.
Because even the crowd was like, yeah, we're not really into that that much. It's like, let Deadpool do everything. And they were like, all right, whatever. So then Brie Larson found out, and she was like, wait, I'm not in this movie? I got cut? What the hell? So she's apparently really pissed about that. So
tough.
As is movies, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you got your scene cut. Shut up, Brie.
Yeah.
Jeez. I'm sorry you didn't. No one, show me one person who was like, oh, look, it's Captain. I came here to see Captain Marvel in a Deadpool movie. Calm down.
I came to see Captain Marvel.
Exactly.
One guy in a
movie. Exactly. Like, I came to see the Captain Marvel.
I just came to see Wolverine without a shirt.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
Bro, that was my next.
So did Deadpool.
He is very attractive, but Wolverine is ripped.
I'm sorry. When he broke that out, I was like, damn, I didn't expect that. I figured they put the suit on him because he's a little chunky maybe or something like that. But Dude was ripped like a freaking chew toy. I was like, oh my God.
I had to take like a triple take. Like, you know, he's like, how old is he? How old is he?
I was like, how are you like that? There was a lot of, I got one question. How the hell did he get all that oil underneath that thing?
That's what helps the suit get on.
Exactly. I was like, it splits right on. Like, he was.
All the X-Men have it.
Dude, he was like Briscoe, like Crisco. I was like baby oil. Like, dude, you got to wrestle in WrestleMania after this? Like, what's going on here?
Can we just shout out the little dog?
Dog pool.
The ugliest, puppets. Cutest, scariest looking dog I have ever seen in my life.
That tongue thing wasn't CG?
No, that was his real tongue.
It's just a really screwed up looking dog.
Is that breed just like that?
Yeah,
apparently. Didn't it win ugliest dog?
Yes, it did. That's the dog that won.
It is the ugliest dog. They could have possibly selected.
They're probably rich now. Who owns that dog?
I think it's someone from Britain, actually.
Yeah.
Makes sense, from Britain.
Who loves that dog? Its name is probably
ugly. By Jove, look at my dog hanging out with Deadpool. Bow wow, good sir. Bow wow. What else? Oh, also, speaking of Deadpools, they showed my favorite Deadpool, Headpool.
Yes, from the zombies.
Oh, so, you know who that was?
That means we're going to eventually get Marvel. I mean, we already saw it in What If, whatever not, but big screen, we got a hint towards Marvel zombies. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling you, they would make so much money just making out one-shot movies of that stuff.
Rated R, of course.
Rated R, bro. Straight up tell the story of Magneto.
Give Bruce Campbell a role.
Yeah. Bruce Campbell just comes jumping in. He was ready
in Doctor Strange, right?
Yeah, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. That'd be great. I'd really enjoy it. So before we keep going, we got to do it again, baby. We got to talk about our sponsors.
Yes.
SWA. The weekend of the 6th, the day of the 6th, next weekend, it's going to be a great time. Knuckle up. Yours truly is going to be in a good old-fashioned contender's gauntlet, and the first-place winner gets a shot at the world title. Second-place winner gets a shot at our belt that's just below that, and we're going to have a great time wrestling for you guys in Deer Park, Long Island. So what you should do is tune in and come down to Deer Park, NYWC Sportatorium. Here is the latest ad. That's what I told her. Welcome back! Ladies and gentlemen, we're here talking about our great panel. We talked about Deadpool and Wolverine before we got sidetracked mentally, like we always do, because I'm pretty sure we all have ADHD at this point.
Yeah, mine's pretty major.
As Deadpool said he has, which is the possible cause of his STDs.
Yes, exactly.
Can we talk about the baby Deadpools? Yeah. The baby Deadpools were so cute. But I also want to mention the little Wolverine that was sitting at the bar.
That's comedy accurate.
Oh, yes. The short king.
Yeah.
Was, I thought, one of the funniest parts of the movie when he hops off the chair and he's like this little, and I was like, that's comic like accurate. A whole nother.
Well, that's how actual tall he is in the comics.
The comic accurate short king.
Yeah. Even in the video games, you know, they hunch him over to make him like, short,
And when he moves in the video games.
And Cavalrine was great as well.
Cavalrine.
Wish they would keep him.
Well, apparently, I'm telling you right now, there's... Now, am I wrong in saying this, but that was Wolverine Origins Wolverine, right? The bike that was in the farm with Alpha Flight with what's it called? Matt Broderick's.
Oh, with the old couple?
Yeah, the old couple that they changed the names because the Alpha Flight, I can't remember the exact name
Hudsons
right now.
Or something.
Guardian, So I wonder if that was supposed to be an alternate version.
Like
Wolverine Origins, where he's in the cabin, he has the motorbike and everything like that.
It could have been.
Wonder if it was. White T-shirt, had the same shirt.
Yeah, it was the same look.
Yeah.
And that's one other thing I loved about the movie is they brought in all of the different Deadpool and Wolverine characters from, like, throughout time.
Yeah.
And so, and I thought the dynamic of their relationship. So the relationship started with, in the movie, with, like, Deadpool being really, like, envious of Wolverine. Yeah. Like, how come he gets all the damn attention? Yeah. And, like, and they bumped head, and Wolverine is very much like, get over yourself. Like, and they're bumped heads so much. And then in the end, it was like, well, who's going to risk their life?
Exactly.
And then the most beautiful love story, as a lot of these superhero movies do, which is like, I love them so much. But
everyone having shawarma.
The Avengers invented shawarma.
Yes.
Yeah, basically.
I love shawarma. I just ate shawarma.
You're welcome.
You're an Avenger.
You're an Avenger.
It was really well done as far as the relationships.
Also,
and the character development was so done so well throughout the movie.
Yeah. So, one thing that kind of left a bad taste in my mouth about that movie, and it's, I don't know, maybe we got like a falsehood of it, but it's also the, we talked about it last time, lightly, where we talked about the Marauders. The Australian freaking, what's it called? The tech guys.
The cyborgs. What were they? The Marauders. They had some other name.
Yeah.
Damn, now it's on the tip of my tongue.
I know, me too. Whatever. Those guys, Australian dudes. So what happens is that in...
The Reavers.
The Reavers. There you go. Reavers.
Lady Deathstrike's people.
Yes. So what happens is in the comics, Wolverine is actually attacked, and they put on the giant X, and that's from the comics. That's a big thing that happens.
It was the Reavers who did that?
The Reavers that did that. They actually killed all the X-Men, I believe. Mm-hmm. So that's what actually happened, and then they left Wolverine to die like that, and the skulls and the things you saw him walking by were the tombs of the X-Men. That's actually from the comic. So I like how they went back and did all that stuff, but the only thing was they kind of, like, downplayed it a little bit. With all the violence in the movie and everything, I'm not saying show the X-Men get killed, but that wasn't, I believe, the worst thing a Wolverine could have done, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I was expecting him to go, like, maybe this is young Logan. That's what, in the back of my head, I'm thinking like Logan from the movie Logan, like where he actually kills all the X-Men. And then the world goes to crap, and then the Hulk inbreding and old man Hawkeye and all that good stuff. I thought that's what was going to happen. And I was like, maybe they changed it like halfway during production, and we're like, we really can't.
Because he does go to old man Logan's universe.
He does go to old man Logan's, he gets shot with the shotgun. So I was like, oh, cool, okay. So we're getting this. But the whole thing was, I truly felt that this badness that Wolverine did wasn't bad at all. Like, he just left. He left them plenty of times. Obviously, they died this time. Right. It's a different
But he killed a bunch of people after you left.
Yeah.
He said he didn't just kill the bad guys. Yeah. He had some good ones.
Yeah, exactly. I was
and a lot of children didn't get to grow up.
Yeah, but also in the Weapon X program, he killed, like, a whole bunch of people.
That's
true. You know what I mean? So I was like,
maybe he killed some important people.
Exactly.
That's something. Probably killed presidents. And
I wonder if we're going to get more.
If he killed all those people, though, he wouldn't just be at a bar.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
They wouldn't just pay
them. They would have put him in some sort of, like, jail.
That's what I'm saying. Just be like some pariah.
That's exactly
that guy. We hate that guy.
That was the whole point I was going to make. I was like, dude, like, I mean, people didn't know him. You kind of knew the bartender's like, sir, I don't know who you are, you know, like, but at the same time, it's like, I wonder if that's going to be a backstory that we get. And now it's like, oh, he's actually on the run. So maybe He wants to fix things, not fix things in his universe, but like that comes over, and you find out there's something more. Now they're like, okay, we got to fix this because there's something more we could write in this. You know,
maybe he's just wanted in the state of New York. And he can go anywhere else, and they know
we don't extradite to Jersey.
they can't like take him in, but like in New York, he can't go back.
We don't go back to Cincinnati. You have it in a box.
Or maybe that's not his universe. Maybe he came from a different one and he was just chilling there.
Rick and Morty, I love it.
Who knows? But they all knew him, though. And he was like, you're not
the wolveriest Wolverine.
The worst one.
Yeah. I was like, dude, yeah, that could have been a lot more. That's just me. Yeah. But yeah, so now we're going to carry on to the main course, ladies and gentlemen. We're going for some steak. The thing that brought us all here.
A little
Spider-Man. Now, I want to give up some notable mentions to in the beginning. Japanese Spider-Man?
Yes.
I don't know if you ever seen it. It's just great. He has a mech, and he fights demons, and he's fighting in gravel in quarries all the time, because I guess that's where they have to shoot, because, I don't know, I guess where bad things happen. You got to protect the quarry.
Is it live action or anime?
It's live action. You never saw Japanese Spider-Man?
No. With his giant robot.
Oh, my God.
I figured it had to be live action when you said giant
robot. Bro, we're going to make you watch Japanese.
I want to watch, too. I haven't seen the giant robot.
I forget the robot's name. Leo something.
Yeah, something. I forget the name of it. We don't remember names here. You have no names here. We have no names.
Which inadvertently gave us the Power Rangers.
Exactly.
I remember we talked about last time.
Yes.
We just call them by their colors.
Yes. Green Ranger, Blue Ranger.
Yellow, pink. They don't need
names. How funny would that be, though? Imagine, like, you get picked to be a Power Ranger, and it's like, here's your color, pink. Wait, what?
Pretty sure it's Kelly.
Bro, I'm a dude. Hey, whoa, listen.
Bret Hart,
you're giving mystical powers of a dinosaur, a freaking, what's it called, a giant robot, an awesome suit that protects you from dying, and you're complaining about the freaking color of it? I'm like, all right, I guess I'm the Pink Ranger.
The original Pink Ranger didn't have a skirt, so.
Can just take it off.
Yeah, you can take it off.
Colors and gender.
The Yellow Ranger was a dude.
Yeah.
In Japan.
Do you know the Yellow Ranger's name in the Japanese
guy.
Version? No. Boy.
Boy, there you go. Damn it.
B-O-I, boy.
Yeah. Guy, those guys, I forgot that.
But color really started, has no gender, and started with Blue's Clues. Blue was a girl.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Hello Kitty's a boy.
Hello Kitty's a human, I heard.
Yeah. Not even a cat.
Hello Kitty's a boy
Bird.
Human.
Yeah. Tweety Bird is
a boy.
Is the opposite of what we thought it was. So a boy.
Yeah.
I thought Tweety was non-binary.
Could be.
They always say they. It's like, you stop trying to eat that bird.
But it was too early and before all that.
Yeah, I know. Bugs Bunny used to do drag. No one ever
did. That's true.
We used to shoot ducks in the face and everyone went home happy.
Duck season. Rabbit season.
Funny story. Sorry, we're getting so sidetracked. If you're ever waiting for Spider-Man, you're going to wait. Mel LeBlanc, right? The guy who did the voice of Daffy Duck and Donald Duck.
Porky Pig, right?
No, he did the voices of Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. Do you know, if you listen to the episode where they do the thing, the infamous duck season, rabbit season, this is insane to me. This blows my mind. He did an impression of, he did the voice of Bugs Bunny doing an impression of Daffy Duck. And then he did the voice of Daffy Duck doing an impression of Bugs Bunny. That blows my mind every time I see it. Like, go watch it. It's amazing. You two at home, wherever you are, watch this. It's the clip of when they're going back and forth. Donald Duck dresses up like Bugs Bunny with the ears and everything, and Bugs Bunny has the fake bill, whatever. He's doing an impersonation of someone's voice as a character voice. That's talent. That is, as a child, I caught on to that. I'm like, so wait, he's doing a... And then I got older, and I was like, oh my God, that's talent. You know what I mean? So that goes to say something. Matt LeBlanc, rest in peace. Great voice actor from back in the day. But yeah, so now we're going to get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, Spider-Man. Oh, so first we're going to start. We started with what's it called? Japanese Spider-Man, which we're not going chronological. We're just talking about the honorable mentions. Of course, we got to talk about
the 70s Spider-Man.
Yeah,
right?
70s Spider-Man.
Well, the comic started in the 60s.
Yes, but there was the actual like live action show that they had. Yes. And then you had the cartoon, which is Spider-Man and Friends, which was Human Torch and Iceman and Firestar.
It was supposed to be Human Torch, but they didn't have the rights.
Yeah, exactly.
Dr. Octopus, he came in pretty early.
No. Yeah, he actually, it's a true story about Dr. Octopus. Dr. Octopus was one of the first people to unmask Spider-Man. He actually beats Living Dog
back
Crap out of
day?
Back in the day in the comics. He beats Living Dog Crap out of Spider-Man, takes his mask off and goes, Peter Parker, what are you doing here dressed as Spider-Man? Because he beats him. It's like, oh yeah, you totally got me. Yeah. Well, I came here to try and stop you and let you see him, blah, blah, blah. You know, so that's actually, and they talk about it later. later on. And this is my favorite thing in the world where they bring it up. This is such a throwback. Is when Civil War happened, where Peter Parker unmasked and Dr. Octopus goes off on a tangent. Like, he starts destroying everything. Everyone's like, what happened with Doc Ock? It's like, I had you when you were a kid. And I unmasked you, and I took off your mask, and I thought it was you trying to be Spider-Man. And here I am, not smart enough to realize that I caught Spider-Man, and I could have finished you right there. But my humanity got in the way. So, yeah. So now, the thing about Spider-Man I want to get into also is the origin. Now, everyone knows about the radioactive spider. But there's certain things that people do not realize, except for one villain. The Green Goblin. Everybody else is kind of like Spider-Man, where they have an origin in an animal. The Vulture.
Rhino.
Doc Ock. A lot of the original villains actually had this. Kingpin wasn't brought in later until the whole entire Kirk McFarlane era, where he took Kingpin. After Born Alive or Dead, the whatever, where he made him into, like, instead of being like, I'll go to the next line, Daredevil, into like, I'm going to freaking kill you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He turned him into, like, the mobster, you know, because Kingpin was actually kind of aloof, kind of, like, character. Like, meh, fist shaking in the air. But, yeah, so a lot of his villains actually had that. Scorpion. They're all animal-based. So
it's the totem thing.
Yeah, it was. Well, that's later on, actually. They brought that back. And that's one thing that I always liked about Spider-Man was his original powers were just that. Bitten by a spider. Webs, he kind of gave him like the idea of how to make them and everything. Sticking to the walls, it's not little hairs. It's actually, they actually classified it differently now. You know what they said? What? He's able to bend reality at his fingertips. It's so stupid.
What?
Yeah, I
guess that makes sense as to why he can do it through his clothes.
Exactly, because they couldn't figure it out.
Because like, you wouldn't have little hairs through the soles of your shoes.
Exactly. In the movies, they made it with the hair. Yeah. You know, because technically if he's touching something and then he's wrapped in whatever, it's like his fingerprints would have to be somewhere. So they just went, oh yeah, he's able to bend reality on a molecular level to make everything stick to him, which makes no freaking sense. Just say you're a spider, you can grip onto things and that's it. Mm-hmm. That easy, easy peasy. Like in the first Spider-Man, which we're getting to right now, Spider-Man 1, also known as people when it first came out, Spider-Man. Like what they called World War One before it was World War Two, you know. But anyway,
they called it World War One because they knew it was going to be.
They knew those Germans were up to something.
There was a post credits after World War One.
They knew this thing was going to be a sequel.
We're putting another team together.
You see the little beginnings of a mustache.
Yes, exactly. So what's it called? Sorry, Susie.
No comments.
So anyway, they made him have organic webbers because they were like, we can't just sit there and have him do a scene where he's like making the web shooters and everything like that, which I think was a little bit out of touch. But hey, you know what?
It worked at that time.
It worked.
Yeah, and the boys did a great job with it too.
Exactly. But different area. My whole thing, I'm not feeling too good. I don't feel so well, sir. You like that little freaking, what's it called? That little callback. I put that up on our TikTok right there. You should follow because I put up funny little clips. All those clips are made by me, by the way. I don't like just copy and paste stuff. Like I make my own stuff for the TikTok. So the Spider-Man movie, the first one, was a very simple, easygoing story. Mm-hmm. The most basic way you can go through it. Spider-Man gets bit by a spider. His best friend becomes torn between him and his father. His father becomes his arch enemy who was, I'm sorry, William Dafoe, now and then, was amazing as Green Goblin. The suit was a little
eh. He's one of my favorite villains.
Yeah, but the thing was that, if you didn't realize it, in the new one, No Way Home?
Yes.
Do you know he did his own stunts?
No really? Way.
William Dafoe.
He always insists on doing it.
He said, I think the words were, don't quote me on this, but if you can't do the work to be the character, who are you to play the character?
So Tom Cruise and Will Smith have the same type of mentality. Yeah. They will only do their own stunts.
Yeah. William Dafoe is like literally like 68 years old, and he was beating the crap out of the stunt doubles, they said. He said he was like rocking these guys. Like he was going through the floors and all this stuff. He was like, this guy's insane. So, tip off to the hat.
And Jackie Chan. Hi, Jackie Chan.
Of course, Jackie Chan.
Yeah, of course, Jackie Chan. No, leave Jackie Chan alone. He's not in any Marvel movies. Leave him alone.
He should be.
He should be.
He could have been in Shang-Chi.
He could have been.
Which was fantastic.
Why should he be in Shang-Chi, huh?
The same reason Awkwafina was in it.
Exactly. So, anyway, so now going forward, Spider-Man actually has a fight with Green Goblin. And the thing about Spider-Man was that his weakness is his humanity, because now he has to keep everything safe from people that he loves, and unfortunately doesn't do a good job of it.
Nope.
Aunt May gets blown up. kidnapped is Mary Jane.
First thing, Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben gets murdered. But I always feel like Spider-Man's failures make him a better hero.
Yeah.
Except for Carnage, because Carnage really made him really go off the deep end, because he never really dealt with people that were murderers in the comics. Carnage was like, I'm going to murder people. And Spider-Man's like, wait, I'll stop you. It's like, slice, 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 slice. What are you doing? So, this villain, Green Goblin, has always been Spider-Man's Joker. It's always been his Cheetah, his Lex Luthor. Like, that's what Green Goblin's always been. And the fact that Green Goblin knows who he is and messes around with him most of the time to be like, I'm going to use this to my advantage. I'm not just going to go out there and get rid of you. It's kind of like Joker-esque to be like, yeah. I'm going to use this to my advantage to make what I want to do even better, because now I can. At that time, they have, you heard about the clone series with the whole two kids from friggin' Gwen Stacy that apparently Norman Osborn, whatever. That's a whole nother story to get into. But Norman Osborn has always been pulling the strings in Spider-Man's world, behind the scenes or in front of him. And it's such a great thing to see that movie come out and really kind of celebrate it. What do you guys think about one?
I thought it was great, the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I didn't watch it until like way later.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't, because I was, what, 13 when it came out? Okay. So, and I really wasn't.
When
really
did it come out? 2001, right?
2002.
Yes.
Oh, it was
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, it was very close.
That's when I
fell
in love with Spider-Man, is because I really learned, like, his story. And I do have questions on why they named her Mary Jane.
Because weed, but he said it straight up. In case you didn't realize this, I'm going to point this out to everyone. Stan Lee has a really bad habit of writing things that he loves into comics.
Okay.
The Hulk is supposed to be him. Because he used to get mad about a girl. Betty was actually a girl that like he actually dated, and like whenever something came down or whatever, he'd get mad. This girl would come around, like this girl in his life would calm him down. So that's where he get the inspiration from Hulk from. So Mary Jane was because he likes weed.
Yeah,
that's it.
Makes sense. I always question that, and I'm like, I wonder what Peter Parker's extracurricular activity. Yeah,
exactly.
But,
give me something you love about Spider-Man 1.
Oh, God.
We're rapid firing.
That's when I think... I was introduced to Green Goblin in Spider-Man 1.
Okay.
And I loved the dynamic of Green Goblin coming in and challenging Spider-Man. And Spider-Man really doesn't want... He didn't want confrontation.
Exactly.
Like, he didn't want... and I just remember, and of course, the love story.
Yeah.
I mean, that was probably...
The mannequin.
The mannequin and the whole upside down, like, kiss and the whole...
Do you know the story about? Do you know the story about the mannequin? So there was a scene where they shot, what's it called? Mary Jane flying away in Spider-Man's arms. But it was a reshoot, and they had to actually... They couldn't get... The shot down. So what they did was they had her on a harness holding a mannequin, and it made her. She had to look like she was actually in Spider-Man's arm. It's
that's hilarious.
I'll find it. I'll put it up. I'll put it up here in a little section right here, like chow, right there.
I didn't know that.
And so that's.
I'm a little jealous of the mannequin because I really had a big crush on Mary Jane.
Yeah. Give me some of your Spider-Man 1.
For a long time, it was actually my favorite Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
Up until like
Spider-Man 3.
No And Osborn was like my favorite villain. Only person that came close to him was Keaton as Vulture.
Yeah.
So like that was the thing. I loved Norman Osborn. That's my favorite thing about the movie.
Yeah. Norman Osborn has always been like one of the big bads in the Marvel Universe. Yeah. The Goblin Serum. It was actually people don't realize it was actually a thing off the Super Soldier Serum that they tried recreating, and it made him
in the Ultimates. Everything spun off the Super Soldier Serum.
Everything's Hulk.
Hulk came out of the Super Soldier Serum.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Hulk actually did. It was actually, I believe they did in the original. Oh, God damn it. Now I can't remember because everything's so blended together now with the stupid multiverse crap. I think it was. I think the...
In the MCU, yes.
In MCU, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, in MCU.
In the MCU and the Ultimate
Universe. In the Ultimate Universe, yeah. The Ultimate Universe. If you want to go read the Ultimate comics, go read them. They're great. Thor's crazy.
They think he's like a madman.
Yeah, everyone becomes an Avenger. Black Widow's evil.
I like her.
Yeah, and then freaking what else? Hawkeye.
People start eating each other.
Yeah, people start eating each other.
The Blob, I think, bites someone's head off. Giant Man bites the Blob's head off or something like that.
No, Blob kills Wasp. No.
Yes, Blob kills Wasp, and Giant Man in return bites his head off.
Maybe, that's something like that. It's all blends together
now. They get really
in that. Yeah. That's where Miles Morales comes from.
Yeah.
So,
my son.
Anyway, going forward, we got to go talk about Spider-Man number 2. Honestly, my favorite in all the series. It was so good because...
Like all of them? Out of all of them?
Well, in the series. No, in the series. Okay. In that series, in those trilogy.
Okay. Yeah, so I was checking. Okay. Yeah.
So,
is that when Venom comes in? When does Venom
come in? No. We'll talk about,
this was Dr. Octopus. Yeah.
So in this movie now, Spider-Man is doing well. Mary Jane is okay. And we're having a great time, having a good old time. Peter Parker's being Spider-Man, he's delivering pizzas. It's a great. So basically, he's
it was
interning
a good mini game in a video game.
Exactly.
Remember?
Yeah.
Make sure the pizza didn't get damaged.
Yeah. So basically, Spider-Man now has to rent an apartment from this really cruel Russian guy. Cool, as in like okay guy, and his really hot Russian daughter that Spider-Man should have hooked up with because Mary Jane's a piece of crap in these movies. I love how like
she
even
was nice in the
first I love how in all these movies like she became like actual notable, like oh the girl from the Spider-Man movies, you know, like how'd that happen? But anyway, so now Spider-Man has to kind of like make a decision, like what does he want to do? He wants to do science or he wants to be Spider-Man? So he helps out Doc Ock, and Doc Ock has a really bad experiment go wrong. And then it's basically the movie having Spider-Man versus Doc Ock. And wait, was somebody else in this movie?
No, it was just Doc Ock.
No. Who else? There was somebody else in this movie.
Harry starts to make his turn.
Yes, Harry. Harry starts making his turn because Spider-Man's dad died. Harry Osborn's father died. So now Harry Osborn is kind of like a little bit like hating Spider-Man. Towards the end of the movie, Doc Ock dies. Sorry, spoiler alert, for like a 20-year-old movie. And what happens now is that Harry finds out Spider-Man is Peter Parker, Peter Parker Spider-Man. So Peter breaks up with Mary Jane, and that leads to a whole big thing where, how should I describe this in the best way? Spider-Man's world kind of turns to crap.
As it does.
Yeah, as it does. And you really feel bad for Mary Jane at this part, even though she gets what actually she deserves because she's a horrible girlfriend. She's horrible in those movies.
She's so mean.
She's so mean to him for no reason. So, Spider-Man 2.
Best moment I'll always remember is when the subway car, when all the people are just
I was going to leave that for somebody. I knew somebody had that.
Just one of those moments where it's just like, whoa.
Those iconic. And you see the purity of people from New York, because I feel like when Doc Ock comes in for him and everything like that, that's what us New Yorkers are. We're not kind. We're not nice, but we're kind. You know, like, we'll help you out. Like, what do you mean you know how to get to the D train over here? What are you talking about? What are you, stupid? You take the 59th Street entrance and you walk down one stop and then you're right there. What do you, go ahead. Have a nice day, lady. All right, have a nice day.
I actually have a question.
Yeah.
There is a Russian villain that I really, really liked.
Who?
In Spider-Man. There was a guy.
And you're talking about Rhino. The guy in the giant robot suit.
And the giant robot suit.
Yeah, that was Rhino. We'll get to that later
that's
on.
Three. That's
yeah,
that, three.
Oh, that's in, okay. Yeah. So that's the
that's
one
it,
that
no,
I remember.
No, that's in the other one. That's in the Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield. Yeah.
Right. Amazing 2. Okay. Right.
Yeah, we'll get to that whole mess later.
Okay.
So anyway, so give me something like about Spider-Man 2.
Oh, Spider-Man 2 stuff. These were so long ago.
We already got the train spot, which I left wide open.
Right.
That was a
well, place. That's what I was going to say, because I remember that being...
that's like superhero lore right there. Like the people from New York helping them.
And I remember, right, because that's when Harry's dad dies. And then Harry goes on this whole like change of character.
Yeah.
Because now he's bitter. Now he goes, he's... so I don't remember exactly. The train is what stood out to me the most.
I'll give you one that I left out, where basically Spider-Man now has to sit there and balance his life a lot more than people. I was like, I didn't want to throw everything out. The balance in life that Spider-Man had to have between Spider-Man and Peter Parker. He's trying to be a friend of Harry, but now Harry hates Spider-Man, so he knows he can't get too close to him because he's trying to be there for him as a friend, but then he has to go be Spider-Man.
Funny thing about 2. I didn't like 2 as much as 1. I thought 1 was
I know people say that. That's
Well, 1 that's always the case. I feel like the first
one's it's a big introduction.
Not usually, cuz a lot of times it's a lot of go, second go. Movies I like. But what I do like about the movies, remember he loses his powers briefly.
Yes.
And you get the Spider-Man No More scene from the comic.
Which
takes suits in the trash can.
I knew you were going to pick up on that one because in the Spider-Man No More, basically he tosses away the suit cuz something happens in his head where he starts losing his powers. How do you get him back?
Does that lead to identity crisis with those where he tries these different suits where he's Stinger and Ricochet
Yeah.
I had the Slingers comics where these kids find his old suits and they become a team.
Yeah. So now on to... Okay, go ahead.
Oh, wait, I was going to say also the end of 2 where, like, Harry, I think, finds his father's equipment.
Yeah, and he puts
it to... And then he has visions of his father. He's saying, avenge me.
Yeah. That was, like, the ultimate, like, you know, stinger, like, after credit scene.
Yeah.
You'll have to avenge me.
You're weak, Harry, and you've always been weak.
You've always been weak.
What do you want? Avenge me.
Avenge me. Wait, can we use that? Yes. So onto the big pile of crap. Number three.
Okay, so I like number three.
I liked it too.
I really liked it, but
I hate it at the same time because it was so.
I just didn't like Venom.
I made a TikTok. I'm going to put it up now. Hold up. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about the TikTok real quick. This is the TikTok that I made about Spider-Man 3. If I could find it. If not, I'm just going to sit there and cut it and do something crazy. So. Shaking my sock. You either get cut, get stuffed, or get shot. This is the tale of Captain Jack Sparrow.
What? A mystical quest to the Isle of Tortuga. Raven like sway on the ocean breeze. Yeah, that was kind of weird, but we're back in the club. Buying up the bar so the groupie show was love. Motherfucking Iceman, I'm the top gunner. Heater on blast, I'm the number one stunner. Watch your girl, cause I ain't your Mr. Nice Guy. More like the meet you, take you home and fuck you twice, guy. All dressed up with nowhere to run. I know I make you feel crazy. Now back to the good part. He was born the year for adventure. And we're back. All right, that's the thing that happened or not. I don't know. I got to find it. Because my old TikTok, I don't know if you guys knew, I had 45,000 followers on TikTok. What happened to it?
Some kid like got mad that I made a video.
And reported you?
He made a video similar to mine, but then him and his friend sniped my account and got my account taken down because I had too many minor reports. Every single video I was putting up, they were reporting. So I got my video taken down. So I think I still have it, though. I got to find it. I think it's on my new TikTok because I was in my old apartment where I made it. So let's hopefully so. So Spider-Man 3. That is basically what I think happened. And
it gave us Bully Maguire.
Bully Maguire.
That dancing scene.
Put some dirt in your eye.
I thought it was such a romantic episode.
No way.
I mean, such a...
I still haven't watched it.
Out of spite or...
You have to watch it.
All I remember is I got it with my PlayStation 3. And I was like, I don't want to watch this. I heard it's terrible.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't want to waste my time. But I want you to watch it. I want you to give me a full report next time. All right.
It's good. Hard now to watch.
So three. I want to start with Spider-Man 3.
What are we here for?
Spider-Man 3 is when I felt like their love story really developed. Like they were finally on a good track. And then something crazy happens with his suit. And that's when Venom comes in.
All 28 minutes of them.
Yes.
But right.
And Gwen Stacy's in there for some reason.
Yeah, I know. She's so hot. You know who she is, right?
Ron Howard's daughter.
Right? Yep, that was Ron. Bryce Dallas Howard.
Okay. She's in Jurassic World.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she was in a couple episodes of Black Mirror. She's amazingly hot.
Bring her in Secret World and kill her,
brother. Be sick. She just falls. Oops, I fell.
Every Spider-Man tries to catch her, it fails.
Yeah. No!
Oops.
Oops. Butterfingers.
Whoopsies.
Sorry, give me something you loved about Spider-Man 3.
Well, that's what I loved about Spider-Man 3. I loved Spider-Man 3 because their love story is finally, they're finally on track, right? Things are finally going really well. And then, of course, looming behind them are all of these issues that happen because something happens with his suit, and then I know Venom makes him go crazy. Yeah. And the whole dynamic shift of and I don't even think necessarily that Venom came in as such a bad guy.
He did actually. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I think that he turns really evil as the story went on.
Yes. You are 100% right.
He didn't come in as such a bad guy, and that's what I loved. But I also have a really big grudge on Tamari. But
So what happens is what she's talking about is the fact that Venom starts taking over Spider-Man's mind. That's the thing with the symbiote. And in the comics, they talk about it too, where Spider-Man and Venom are the perfect link. So I think recently, even still, like, he gets the symbiote, he gets a black suit back for a little bit, and he's like, we're not going to go full in, we're just going to sit there, like, it's not a full connection. He's like, I'm not going too deep, don't worry about it, we're just doing this for this. He's like, okay, cool. So, the Spider-Man symbiote bond is the fact that in the comics and in the movie, Venom gets pissed off, the symbiote gets pissed off that it's rejected. So, it's he needs that purity to live. And they kind of hint towards it a little bit that without that, he's not going to be happy. So it's also the fact that, what's his name who plays Eddie Brock? What's his name?
Topher Grace.
Yeah, Topher Grace plays. Topher Grace plays that role. And I got to admit, that was the one thing that I really disliked about the movies, because Eddie Brock's this huge monster person. But I get they made the similarity between them two.
No, they went with Ultimate yeah, exactly, Eddie Brock. Remember, he's smaller, but then when he gets to see, he's bigger.
Yeah, he gets bigger.
They could have at least did that. Yeah,
exactly. But they didn't. They just made him like a skinny black Spider-Man. So
me? No. Just
what?
Miles Morales? No.
No, but that's half black, sir. All right?
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, so that's
an Oreo cookie. Yeah.
So Eddie Brock is supposed to be like this. We are Oreo. So that's the whole thing that made me kind of like really dislike that movie, was the fact that how they treated Venom. Like, I know you want to get rid of Spider-Man. Like, get the fuck out of here. Oops. Bleep. That was a quote. So I was like, yeah.
Oopsie.
That made me absolutely horrendous at the 5:33, at the 53 minute mark. I got to remember that one. So that was something that I was really like, wow, you really screwed this character up. Like, yeah, the most
it's
basic.
It's we, not I.
Yeah. So I could go into the whole TikTok that I was talking about before, but I'll send it to you guys later. But yeah, that's the whole thing with the dynamic between the two, where one hates Eddie, one hates Peter, one hates Spider-Man, and they both come together to be like, oh, wow, we can really destroy both of our enemies at the same time.
And can we just talk about Grandma for a second?
Like, yeah, Aunt May.
Aunt May. I thought it was his
Aunt
grandma
May.
For some reason. But
she's old.
May. Well, back then.
Well, it depends on which Aunt May.
By today's standard, she'd be a grandma.
Yeah.
I was going to say, which Aunt May?
She went through so much.
So much pain.
So much pain. And I think that's who I felt the worst for. Like, if we had to feel the worst for one character in the Spider-Man movies, that's Aunt May for me.
Yep.
Always in financial troubles.
Spider-Man 3.
Let's see. Well, there's more that I didn't like than like. I'll tell you what I liked, because we didn't even talk about him. Sandman, he was good. Him and the whole daughter thing, that was the good. That was the one trying to.
I let you guys go first on this one, because
it
should
just focus on Sandman.
But he's also a soft character.
Yes,
he's also a very like.
Just wanted his daughter.
Yeah.
Yes, he was trying to save his daughter.
Which was garbage. Story.
Why was that garbage?
Because that never happened in the comics. Until
it doesn't have to
movie.
Happen in the comics.
But here's the thing, though. Like, Sandman has always been a thug and a gangster and somebody who enjoys violence. He's not like this.
Me too.
I don't know what's going
on.
But
for this
me.
Kind of movie, you have to make him sympathetic.
Yeah, exactly. And then every iteration of Sandman afterwards has always had like this wannabe Black Adam, freaking like gray area hero villain, you know? And I always hated that. Like, Sandman has always been a villain. He robs banks, he beats up Spider-Man. Spider-Man beats him, and that's it.
You can't make a movie out of it.
Exactly.
He would have to be hired by some bigger villain.
Wow, if there's only
that.
Somebody else you can make a movie of. Vulture. Shocker. You know, like,
we need
Scorpion.
Sandman was good. Especially the special effects at the time, too, were.
You could have used, well, go ahead,
Hydro
Man? I'm sorry.
You could have used Hydro Man instead.
Bro, I would have definitely used Hydro Man beforehand.
Remember when they became Mudman?
Yeah, Mudman. Yeah, that's horrible.
Which makes sense though, if you put the elements together. Yeah. I mean, it does make
sense. Keep going.
Let's see. That's about what did I? Here's what I think should have happened with Eddie Brock at the end. They shouldn't have. If they were gonna do Venom, they shouldn't have like killed him off. They should have just post-credit scene. He's in jail, sitting next to Cletus Kasady.
Yeah, 100%. That's it.
And then you get a full-on Venom movie. Yep. The next movie.
And that. So I'm gonna go full on here now. Crack my knuckles. There we go. Okay, so here's what I hate about that movie. The fact that continuity-wise, I'm going to go into a little bit about that video I made. The studio got ahead of itself. Sam Raimi wanted to make this beautiful freaking movie. Uh-huh. It just wanted to be Sandman, but they said toss in Venom because they wanted
studio
more.
Studio interference and they wanted to sell toys. And
they wanted to sell toys and everything like that, and that's what happened. They knew that they can get away with pushing their weight around a little bit more because they had so many people waiting for that movie to come out. Mm-hmm. It was the third Spider-Man. Another Spider-Man movie, great. The second one was awesome. And they completely shat on it. And I'm sorry.
Yes.
There was no reason to put all that stuff in there. There was no reason to put some of the storylines in there. Sandman should have been the villain. Sandman, if you want to put somebody else in there, you could have put Sandman and Scorpion together. Because now Sandman destroys New York, right? Bang. All right, J. Jonah Jameson starts sponsoring freaking the program that creates Scorpion. Now you have Scorpion. You have Rhino. You have Shocker. You have everybody
or
else.
Or Harry taking over. The
exactly, Harry. Harry should have been the guy. And when they didn't, they penciled him in to that movie, I was just The whole first two movies were just washed for me.
You could have had Sandman working for Harry.
No, not even that. No. Right? You should have had Harry, and then Sandman comes along. Sure, they could have teamed up for a little bit, but then they go back to fighting. That justice that he wanted was a lecture. Oh, sir, your father, I tend to his wounds. Oh, sorry, I forgot to mention
this.
You
should have told me that in Spider-Man 1.
Exactly,
idiot.
Exactly. You're fired.
You have five years to tell me this.
You absolutely fired. You fired.
Let's play charades.
Yeah. So that was the whole thing that got me so aggravated more than anything. Was the fact that they jumbled all these storylines together and they pushed Harry's aside. That was the main one that everyone wanted to see. This was going on for 2 movies, 5 years. People want to see a conclusion to this, and you drop them from it. That's what got me mad about this movie. Mm-hmm. Venom, 28 or 26, whatever minutes of Venom, absolutely god-awful. Yeah. The fact that he said I instead of we, that was someone being petty. That's exactly what that was. Uh-huh. And that was, I'm sorry, I paid to see a movie. I didn't pay to see a fight in between people who run a studio. And that's what really got me aggravated. Yeah. And still to this day, it gets me a little hot. Sandman, like I said, should not have been a good guy. Oh, I'm just trying to help my daughter. Oh, everyone's trying to help their daughter, guy. I hate to tell you this. You know what I mean? Harry Osborn, his father was murdering people so his son would have a better life. Ah, okay? So that's Spider-Man 3.
That's not why he murdered people. They were rich before he became a murderer.
Exactly. But still, he
got tossed out of his company.
Exactly, he got tossed out of his company, yeah.
So Out am I?
Start blowing up random people at a parade. I don't know why.
That's a common thing today. Yeah.
So,
damn,
Susie.
Sorry.
So, we're gonna.
She'll call me Debbie.
We're gonna downer. Here we go. We're gonna jump forward into the future with the land of promise that did not deliver. Which I actually do like these movies. I'm so mad that
I actually like 2 better than a lot of people.
I liked freaking what's it called? Spider-Man.
I like Amazing 2.
Wait, are we
like
not
a
going
cartoon.
Into 4?
There was no 4.
Yes, there is, with Nick Fury.
No.
Wow. No. That was the MCU version. Yeah. That was when they
reunited. No. That's later on. We're going to get to those later. That's the Marvel ones. We're going to get into those later.
We got to do the Amazing
Spider-Man.
You forgot about them too, didn't you? A lot of people did.
Amazing Spider-Man, James Garfield. Andrew Garfield.
We like James. Sorry, Andrew.
What are you doing? What are you doing over here, Goblin?
Names here.
What are you doing over here,
James? James is your middle name.
Even you forgot about it.
Listen. What are you doing over here, Lizzie? Huh? I got Paulie Walnuts over here going nuts, and you're sitting over here trying to turn people to lizards. Yo, you better knock this off right now, okay? The New York families are not going to be happy. I'm going to bada bing. That was James
Garfield. And then
Garfield.
I'm going to bada boom.
Yeah. So anyway, Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. I loved him as Peter Parker. He was not good as Spider-Man. I felt like he was very
liked him as Spider-Man because he was such a smart ass.
He was. But no, I mean like actually in the costume because he was very neurotic. Weird. It looked like he was having a nervous breakdown every 3 seconds. He was like banging on his head and everything like that. Was he in the backseat of the car? He's very small.
He had problems.
Yeah, I was like, this is kidney that. And I'm like, yeah.
They took ideas that were going to be in 4 and put it in. Because remember, Lizard was scheduled to be in 4 for the Sam Raimi version. Yeah. But then 4 fell apart.
Because they were like, yeah, we're not doing this anymore. Yeah. Sorry, bro. So he was like, I'm not doing this. Screw this. So the whole part of the movie was that the Lizard was trying to read a classic Spider-Man story. Great jump off. I absolutely loved it. He starts trying to get his arm back. But then it goes crazy, and then the Lizard serum makes him go crazy. Also, another thing, about Spider-Man villains are a lot of them are enhanced by some sort of science, which is really kind
of
cool.
A lot of them are
so
scientists,
it
too.
It gives him a reason to be a scientist and come back and beat them, which is always a great story within Spider-Man. So, shout out to Mike Quackenbush for this one. Mike, I love you. I love Mike Quackenbush because I was training with him for a while when this movie came out, and we talked about it, and we were in training one day, and he goes, how in the hell? I love the movie. It's great and everything like that, but why is your master plan a freaking screensaver? You could have put a cryptic password on this, Mike. I'm going to send it to you. I remember because Mike came up with this phrase, and I do not want to take it as my own, but I love it. It's called nerd tears. And he was crying. He was like, I had all these nerd tears during this movie. And it was so great. And then that scene happened. I was like, oh, God damn it. Why? And I didn't think about that. I was like, wow, that's actually really smart. Like, he really had, like, the screensaver and all of his plans. It turned people into lizards of the ejection cloud and everything. Spider-Man winds up winning the day. He saves the girl, which everyone thought was going to die. They tell a dynamic story about Gwen Stacy, who was in this movie in place of Mary Jane, because they didn't want to tell the same story as earlier before. But the problem with that was A lot of people didn't know if this was going to be not like a prequel, but kind of like, are we going to get Mary Jane?
Yeah.
Because right. that was a question that people were asking. Like if we got her, she's going to turn to
that
this.
That question gets answered in a second when we get to it.
Yeah. Moving on, number two.
Wait, don't move to number two yet. Okay. There's some, still some things.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, sorry. Yes, go ahead. Yes. Sorry. Go panel.
The lizard's plan was kind of stupid. Here's what I would have done. I would have made it so that he didn't know that they were going to turn lizard. He thought he was probably curing diseases or something.
That's with
his
smart.
Lizard thing, and then made it so that Peter Parker finds out that, oh, you're turning people lizards. And he's like, no, you're just jealous of my fucking plan.
Yeah.
And,
language.
Language.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. 103.
103. Uh-oh. You're just jealous
he
of my
said
plan.
Flip.
Yeah, I said flip.
I heard it.
I said flirking like yep. those cats yeah, exactly. in
the
cat
bottle.
The flirkins.
Flirkins.
His flirking plan.
The flirkin
we're just smurfing everything now, aren't
so
we?
We're going to turn people into flirkins instead of lizards.
Which is also a really it's scary cats. Scene. Me and my wife love cats, and like that scene in that movie absolutely had us crapping ourselves
with
and
memories.
Laughter.
Yes, yeah. Song memories.
Go inside the cats. Do not fight. Do not resist. All the staff members are being eaten by cats. I'm like, Gabby was like, I could die like this.
I mean, they cough you out eventually.
Exactly, yeah.
Eventually.
Oh, yeah, so that could have been the plan. Don't turn them into lizards. Like, oh, lizards are superior. We didn't yeah. need to be lizards. Like, no, you could
I
just
mean,
said,
lizards are technically dinosaur yeah. families. Yeah. They are kind they of are. Superior.
They're all chickens now, aren't they? They're birds. Ah, the mighty yeah. dinosaur, how you have fallen.
Or technically risen because they fly.
We eat, but we eat you now. Before exactly. You used to eat our little
raptor
mammal ancestors.
Kentucky how the food chain has changed.
Yes,
Kentucky Fried Raptors.
Our mammal ancestors, now we eat your descendants.
All right, Susie, give me... Oh, you never watched these.
No, but I did watch a little bit of two, so I'm going to pass this to
right.
RJ. And then
I didn't watch any of the Amazing Spider-Man.
What?
You're horrible.
All
today.
Right, it's just us now.
I'm
gonna say because I had no urge to see. Now I'm gonna say Daniel Garfield. Yeah, now. Daniel
Garfield.
I'm coming with new names.
We're
now.
Just
Andrew Garfield.
Give him a whole
Richard Garfield.
Of
he's triplets.
Was it Michael Garfield?
Michael Garfield.
Andrew Garfield.
The cat Garfield.
Yes. He could have been that movie.
I hate Mondays and the lizards.
But I like spaghetti.
I'm not going to fight crime on Mondays. The city goes to hell.
Who Odie would be Black Cat? I don't know.
I do want to bring up two for a second, if I can, only because that was the introduction.
We're going to get into it first, but since you didn't watch it, you go last. you shall sit down, child.
I thought it was Spider-Man 4. All
right, so number two. I'll do it with the intro. Number two is basically we have Max, who is a very nerdy
who
black
is Jamie
gentleman.
Fox?
Jamie Fox.
Wait a minute. I thought it was Electro.
That is Electro.
We're getting to it.
He becomes Electro.
Don't interrupt me when you're about a movie you didn't watch fully.
You mean his name wasn't Max Power, which would have been a better
That'd
name?
Be great.
Better than Electro.
That sounds like the actual secret identity for the guy of Livewire. Not yeah. Livewire. Powerline from like Goofy Movie. Yeah. That's his real name.
Max Power.
So basically now we have Spider-Man and Gwen Stacy developing a relationship behind their dad's back.
After the dad died.
After the
first one.
No, the dad died in the second one.
Yeah. No, the first one.
First one, you're right. Sorry, first one.
George Stacy.
Yeah.
So I mean, he says, leave Gwen out of this.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So he tries having a relationship and it just doesn't work. He breaks up with her.
Bye-bye, Mary Jane.
Gwen Stacy.
I know, but he's not with Mary Jane anymore.
Yeah, she's off like not doing like. Step it up or whatever.
I know, so I'm wishing
she's
her
busy
well.
Having a scene deleted.
Exactly. She's busy having her scene deleted because she's horrible
she
in it.
She's supposed to be in it.
She's supposed to be some redhead chick, yeah. Yes. So anyway, so now, basically, now they're dealing with this whole entire drama, which has always been great for Spider-Man. His love interest has always been a complication. But now we have Max. Max is a nerd who falls into a vat of electric eels. He gets the power of electricity, and he becomes Electro, which at one point during the movie, he actually does become full-on evil. I did not like the color. I did not like anything about
him. You didn't like the blue stuff?
No, he looked like a giant
pistol. So you wanted
Smurf.
The yellow?
Yeah, I wanted that. Dude, I wanted the rhyming, dude. Like, people don't realize, back in the day in the comics and early TV shows, he used to rhyme with everything he used to
really?
Say. Yeah,
really?
I don't know why he stopped it. But anyway, so now...
Well, you can't have a black Electro rhyme. Okay,
yeah.
Now he's a rapper.
But it is cool.
God damn, Spider-Man!
But it's Jamie Foxx, an actual rapper.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's the story's cool because...
I got the Spider-Man, the evil black cat. I'm gonna electrocute
she
you.
She was in it too, kind
yeah,
of.
She
Felicia
was.
Hardy.
Yeah.
I just want to say that it was cool the way it all happened because it was all portrayed as like a really freak accident.
Yes.
And so that was like really cool. Like it wasn't like a planned part. It was like just.
That's what happens to a lot of villains in movies. They just accidentally.
Shouldn't have touched that. What is this button?
You gotta be careful where you fall, as he says in another movie.
Exactly. So Electro is basically. Is this the one with? No, I'm sorry. We skipped over something. I'm sorry. Rhino.
He's at the beginning, right? Yeah. Of the movie.
Yeah, he's at the beginning of the movie. So.
But he's not in his thing yet.
Yeah, he's not in his thing yet. He's a regular bank robber. Yeah, so he's a Russian hitman, whatever. In the
played
comics.
Played by Paul Giamatti.
And he talks like this.
Yeah, he's like all these stupid Very tattoos good. And everything like that. Really, really just kind of campy. I still like the movie. I like the Oakleys in this one. He looked a lot better with the Spider-Man costume in this one.
Yeah, that's right. They changed it.
Yeah, they changed the design.
Harry come back into this one?
Yes, he is.
That's the point I was going to bring up. So now we have same thing that happened with 3.
Oh, yeah, because Norman was in the first one, and he was dying, remember?
Yeah, he was dying. Yes. So, I forgot to talk about it. So anyway, Norman Osborn is basically dying in the movie. They always say Oscorp is around, and blah, 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 blah. The last scene happens at Oscorp. That's what I forgot.
Which is what they all have in common. Oscorp is kind of like what brings them together as far as.
Yeah, so now, basically, in the second one, Harry comes back. He was away on vacation or whatever, and then...
Boarding school, maybe.
And then he comes back, sees his dad. Does his dad die in this one?
I think so.
Oh, and also the after cream set is in the first one. I'm sorry. Very big thing. People don't realize. People think that was Norman Osborn. It wasn't. It was a guy that actually supplied the Sinister Six.
Oh, the guy at the post credits, right?
Yeah, he actually...
It's something Fleers or something.
Yeah, yeah,
like
whatever.
That.
This guy basically makes the Sinister Six to fight Spider-Man. Yeah. He's like this crime boss, whatever. So that's where they were basically setting up. It wasn't Norman Osborn.
Gathering of the Six. Yeah.
So even in the video game, they actually have the Sinister Six locked up and, like, not locked up, but all their gear ready to go. So back for flash forward, we're in Amazing Spider-Man 2. Spider-Man and Peter Parker are kind of like, you know, meshing a little bit well. But then once again, it's like Spider-Man, his personal life gets into the problems with things.
Harry has the same disease as dad.
He has the same disease.
Spider-Man's
dad,
blood.
But yeah, he needs Spider-Man's blood because the dad in the first movie, which was a really stupid way of doing it, I didn't want to talk about it because it's so dumb. They find out, like, oh, your dad put everything inside of you as an answer. Why would you not just put it inside of a vial? Mm-hmm. But now he uses that and becomes the Goblin.
Yes.
So it's we skip straight over Norman, and Norman, I think, dies in this one for some reason.
I think he does, yeah.
I think he died in it, and they announce it, and then...
He dies off screen
or something like that. Yeah, so I don't know if it was a fake thing or whatever, but... So now this Spider-Man has to fight this Green Goblin, and this Green Goblin is, like, just cracked out. And that's the way that I really kind of hoped he was going to be in the first one, not with the metal suit. The metal suit was awesome, but not awesome, but, like, at the time, I was like, wow, that's actually, you know? So this one kind of looks, like, crazy, because that's what Norman looks like when he turns into the Goblin. So he gets a little bit more erratic. So now we do get the classic death of Gwen Stacy in this movie.
Yep.
So it's very hard not to. It's up there with Spider-Man 1 for, like, the most emotional scene, because when Spider-Man 3, when he gets dumped by Mary Jane, you actually felt that. That was harsh. Harry makes Mary Jane break up with him and do all this crazy stuff to Spider-Man to mess with him before he kills him, tries to kill him. And that's the only thing I really liked about 3 was, like, that mental gymnastics thing. So, yeah. Spider-Man, and now basically at the end of the movie, Harry dies, right?
No, he doesn't.
No, they can't.
No, he's going to set up the Sinister Six.
Yeah, he was going to set up the Sinister Six, which he was never really a part of in the first place, but we're there. Yeah. So then at the end of the movie, it's kind of like left open.
Yeah, because it's like he's thinking about not being Spider-Man, and then he decides to be Spider-Man. And then he fights Rhino in a robotic suit. Yeah. Ultimate Rhino.
Yeah. So now we have Mary Jane coming in, that was supposed to happen. But then they cut the scene, and then the studio just basically went.
You know who else was in this movie? Remember Alistair Smythe?
Yeah, Alistair Smythe, the Spider Slayers. Yeah. He was in there.
Felicia Hardy, become the Black Cat.
Yeah, they kind of like set the seeds for the third one, which I think hopefully we get someday soon. But yeah, so that's what it is. Three. Got two. Give me what you like.
I like two because it felt like almost like everything Spider-Man. It felt like the video games, cartoons, and everything else. Even the toys a little bit. Yep. It just had everything in it. Like it was a fun movie for me.
Yep.
I thought the same thing. I thought it was a very fun, entertaining movie. And the fact that, like, now he's working, obviously didn't work out, but he started, like, a new love interest. And I thought it was a very entertaining movie.
Is this someone's car?
It's a car.
I think that might be mine. Hold on. I just realized it's out of my case.
A car was going beep, beep.
Hey, it was your car.
No, it wasn't. I didn't even hit my thing yet. Nope, that wasn't
me. It stopped.
Let me just...
It's magical.
Hold on, where's my keys? Sorry about this, guys. Nope, not my car. So anyway, So now we're going to go fast forward into the good ones, ladies and gentlemen. Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Starring Iron Man.
Starring Iron Man. Now, this is the thing that I liked about this movie, because they restarted Spider-Man as a kid, as a high school student, which has always been the best way of bringing up, because now you have Spider-Man who is just a child developing all these things. And he was originally in Civil War. That's where he started.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then it was like Iron Man found him by swinging around, helping up people. It's like, oh, you like your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man or something like that? And then he gets his own movies. So he comes out in Civil War, helps out Team Iron Man. He beats up freaking Winter Soldier and Falcon all at once. And then he catches Winter Soldier's hand, which is pretty cool.
He comes up with the plan to take down Giant Man.
Yeah, it's like, have you ever seen this really old, which I really love? They dated him, but they make him date things and make everyone else feel old, because now that made him younger. That was a great little trick that they did.
War Machine says, how old is this kid? He's like, I didn't carbon date
him. Yeah, exactly. So now we move forward from Civil War into Homecoming, which is kind of weird because he never got in trouble for that, by the way.
What?
Spider-Man. Everyone else got jail time, but Spider-Man just went home.
No, because he was on the registration side.
Yeah.
He was on pro registration.
Yeah, I know, but still, he just never, what's it called?
For leaving the country and going to Germany.
He's
in a ruckus at an airport.
No, I'm talking about everyone else coming after him. Like all the other villains, all the other heroes going like, yo, bro, you kind of just fought us. Like, what the hell? Yeah. So. And I that's one thing I actually said.
Yeah, Stark's protection.
Which, in Infinity War or in Endgame, they could have been like, you're not going to hit me again, are you, kid? Like, a little moment like that. But anyway.
Some tension.
So now, Homecoming. Spider-Man, he's dealing with everything. He's literally comes home from the events of Civil War, which people don't get the title. So now, it's also the homecoming from him coming from Marvel, because now he's his own property and everything's built up and everything. And we're dealing with the Vulture. The Vulture this is one of the
great villain
because they actually changed us around. The villain Vulture used to be able to suck the youth out of people, and that kept him young. Mm-hmm. That was his original thing. The suit or whatever did it, whatever. He was like a vulture. That's what it was. In this one, he was a tech engineer, and he got fired because of damage control, which is a nod towards Civil War. Again, something that brought in Spider-Man. So damage control basically starts all this stuff. Blah, 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 blah. He goes rogue a couple years later, starts his own criminal enterprise, stealing stuff from Stark, in which we have, again, the Marvel formula of, we got to get ready for this big move. You know, we got to move all this stuff. And he name off actual things that are in the Marvel universe, like Thor's belt, which is really funny because I remember reading that and, I couldn't buy that. I said, talk about that, whatever.
Some old, Chitauri stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Old Chitauri stuff. Old stuff to kind of I remember this. I remember that. So Spider-Man's basically developing now the familiarity with the suit. And he hotwires the suit to go through all these training protocols because he doesn't want to do this stuff, which is the most video game thing that I've ever seen in my life. And
cheat codes.
Exactly. Cheat codes. That's exactly what it was. So now we have a couple things in this movie that were cool. We had the Prowler. We had
and he was Miles' uncle.
Exactly. He was Miles' uncle. They talk about that. The instant kill suit, which comes back in Infinity War, which is great. And his once again, we had Mary Jane kind of off to the side, which I really kind of liked. Mm-hmm. That was really kind of cool. So Spider-Man starts falling for this one girl. He never thinks has a shot at her. And the tech is being used all over the place. And it's whatever he is, it just happens to be used, which is kind of a fun little thing. The Vulture ends up being the father of the girl that he has a love interest with. He takes her to prom. And he kind of puts two and two together, which is, again, the most villainous thing that a Spider-Man villain can do. It's like, I know who you are. And now I'm going to use this against you.
That car scene.
Exactly. That car scene was dope. Absolutely dope. So
also the ferry scene too.
Yeah, the ferry scene was all
ferry scene.
I was gonna. I didn't want to bring that up because
I just came here on that thing.
No, but I liked how.
Well, that's the thing. We're gonna get into that. Don't get ahead of me because I want to bring that up. So now, the scene where I'll let you guys talk about the rest. The thing that I really loved is the fact that that plays into one of my favorite Iron Man movies, Iron Man 3. The reason why is because what does he tell him? If
you're nothing
without
the
suit, you never deserved it in the first place. That plays back into Iron Man 3 where he didn't have the suit and he had to do everything on his own. And that's what I liked about Iron Man 3 where he kind of sets up everything, which now it's his guiding light that he shines down Peter Parker. Like everything that he does, he has the parachute in the suit because he fell from Avengers game. He's always looking out for Peter even though Peter's not looking out for himself. Mm-hmm. So Tony Stark always learns from mistakes. We talked about this before. now we have that scene where he takes the suit back and he has to go back to being the old school Spider-Man.
In his old homemade suit.
So what does that mean? He's now worthy of the suit because he did it without the suit. He fought against Vulture on the train. He got knocked out, got put into the place. He had to get out. Then he fights Vulture later on. And he realizes what it takes to be a hero now, not just somebody just running around doing cool things.
He's no longer your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
When the plane crashes, when Vulture gets his plans, he does everything he wants to do. The plane crashes with all of Stark's tech on it that was going to be moved to the upstate place in New York from the Avengers Tower. And what happens? Spider-Man realizes now, I have to save this idiot before he blows himself up. So that's the hero that we see him become versus the hero where he's trying to do all the cool stuff on the internet. See what I mean?
Yeah.
So what did you like about Homecoming?
Homecoming, just about everything. I love the whole Iron Man being his mentor. Yep. Like I told you, Vulture was my favorite thing about the movie. Yep. That car scene when he pulls the gun on him, when he's like, I'm going to kill you and everybody you love if you try to stop me. Then the whole thing about the the girl that he loved being the Vulture's daughter.
That was sick. That was
little
sick.
Bit That's what I was going to bring up.
Little bit of trivia, too. The woman that plays the girl's mom is from the Jamie Foxx show.
Yeah.
Really?
That was Jamie Foxx's love interest.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Yes. Yeah. Fancy. The other guy was always trying to go after
her, too.
And
then in the third movie, he meets Jamie Foxx.
I want to say the whole concept of the movie, right? So he's coming back from this whole thrill ride with the Avengers, and he's coming back. He moves back in with Aunt May. He tries to get kind of settled. Now Tony Stark is his
mentor.
And
true story about that. The scene where Spider-Man and Iron Man, they're in the back of the limo, and he lets him out the thing. He tries to give him the hug, and he's like, oh, we're hugging. He's like, nope, just trying to get the door. That was actually a real scene. That actually happened, and they just kept it in the movie.
Well, that's the best, though. Those, candid moments are the best. But I just loved the whole concept of the movie, and then he's, he's upgraded. Like, he's not that same Superman anymore. He's ready to, develop this, whole new...
Definitely not Superman anymore,
Sorry, Spider-Man. He is now ready to develop this whole new character, this whole new type of superhero.
Persona,
that's what I mean. Like, he's not just your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man anymore. Yeah. Now he's... And then, obviously, Vulture comes in the picture, and the whole dynamic with his love interest being Vulture's daughter.
Yep.
Yes.
Obviously, the nostalgic scenes happening in our hometown, which was, really great.
Coney Island crash.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed that whole movie.
Homecoming.
Love the whole movie. Not my favorite of the three, of course not. Yeah. But like you mentioned before, it's great to see a Spider-Man as an actual kid, Peter Parker as an actual high school kid, instead of having adults play high school kids, which always gets me mad.
Yeah,
it's always
even though he's an adult, he's in his mid 20s playing that.
He looks like a kid.
He looks like a kid.
Like everyone else, where it's like aren't these 21, 22? Like aren't they going to college? So it was actually nice there. And then like I mentioned before, the fairy scene was always iconic to me. When he's trying his best to just keep the whole thing together.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that was a nod to the second one, I believe.
So
yeah,
that's why I was like, I'll bring it up again, because let's keep it going.
Staten Island people catch him. I'm like, hey, he's fighting. What are you doing over here? Hey, this guy fell me. All right, man, stop yelling at the poor guy. He's holding a ferry here. All right, on to number two. Spider-Man, Far From Home. Far From Home was a great movie. I think it was definitely my least favorite of the ones because it was very filler. It was very anime going off to save a young kid that's lost and has some mysterious power crap.
It's the Agrolic Junior saga.
It was one of my greatest. my favorite villains is Mysterio in that series because I like how they updated him. They didn't make him some sort of spooky,
He's not a former movie special effects guy.
He's a special effects guy.
Yeah, he was.
That's it.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. But they made him a tech genius that was betrayed by Stark, and now he made the barf thing. The barf thing was... Something, like it says in the movie that I completely quoted correctly.
The drone thingies?
Yeah, the drones were awesome. I liked how they did that. What's it called? They take the Stark tech and now they make monsters, and that's what Quentin Beck is. He becomes, I'm the good guy. I'm going to save everyone, blah, blah, blah. To be the pledge and all this other stuff. I'm going to avenge my family. That's what Beck is. That's what the type of jerk off he was. He would sit there and try and make himself to be the hero when he wasn't, and he would put other people in danger. So watching that transition, and everyone was like, and people were so stupefied by this, by going, well, I don't get it. Why would he be a bad guy if he traded all this stuff? It's like, that's who he is. He had the whole team, the guy from Iron Man 1, the chick from Iron Man 2. It was really great stuff to see. So now, he gains Spider-Man's trust while over in Europe, and it's a whole big plan. They're stalking Spider-Man. Yeah. So it's a true story. They actually used Hydro-Man, and they talk about it in the thing.
Yeah, they mentioned Morris Bench.
Morris Bench, who fell into a super collider or something like that. And then they used Multiman, and then they used not Tornado, but Human Tornado. I thought it was going to be Human Tornado at first, but it wasn't.
Human Tornado is a wrestler.
Yeah. No. Human Tornado is actually, remember the Avengers game? Avengers Ensemble.
That was Whirlwind.
Whirlwind. Sorry, yes. Jesus. Yeah, you're right. It's Human Tornado.
They were gonna use all four of them.
No, they did. They
thought they were just the Elementals or something.
Yeah, but then they changed it to Elementals like halfway through the movie, which is kind of lame. But anyway, it's very European feel. Like, we didn't want to spend money on a budget, so we got people to watch the movie by having a European trip. You don't have to spend much on scenery. Just shoot stuff over far. Blah blah blah. And then basically Mysterio turns on Spider-Man. You see the whole thing. It was to get Edith. Edith was the sunglasses.
Even dead, I'm still the hero.
Yeah, exactly. That's what the abbreviation was. Even dead, I'm still the hero in the story. Now we have Spider-Man not wanting Edith because he's having problems. He almost kills everyone on the bus.
Yes.
With the guy who catches Mary Jane almost like messing around with him, whatever or not. So, but the other chick, the S.H.I.E.L.D. chick, she's like checking him out or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So he uses that and mishaps happen. Now he's uncertain. It's almost like the same story as Spider-Man where he does want to be Spider-Man, but now with this Edith power, so he gives it up. Hey, Beck, you know what? You're a good guy. And what happens? We got him!
Exactly.
Awesome scene.
They had the whole scene. They had the party.
Yeah, that's right. And they did the whole Ocean's 11 reveal, like, of the heist and everything. I was like, this is great! So people are like, I don't get it. Quentin Beck was a bad guy the whole time. But the one thing that really kind of pissed me off about this movie is where he goes, I'm from Earth 616.
Yes.
So that's not Earth 616 now, because that's the Marvel continuity, even though we just said it's Marvel continuity. So if someone wasn't paying attention to that scene and just went, well, I'm not going to care what Spider-Man Far From Home says, you know? So now he has to fight against Beck. He realizes now the upgrade, not the upgrade, but the ability of his spider sense, and uses his spider sense to sit there and use that. So he goes, oh my God, that's awesome. I can use my spider sense, and he beats Mysterio. Mysterio dies, and then the most classic thing that sets up the next movie is Peter Parker is Spider-Man. Yep. And everybody lost their apeness in that movie. When
Jonah Jameson was right
there. Exactly.
That was a good reveal,
and too. And it wasn't even Jameson. It wasn't even J. Jonah Jameson. It was the fact that you had J. Jonah Jameson and then the Spider-Man reveal, which we'll get into the next time. But yeah,
he had like his InfoWars type of...
Yeah, exactly. InfoWars, yeah. What'd you like?
Let's see. I loved... The whole, it actually kind of planted the seeds for the multiverse just because they referenced it.
Exactly.
And it got fans exactly. thinking, like, oh, the multiverse.
616, that's all I needed.
Yep. My thing was, like I said, that end reveal with J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
Here's the kicker, folks.
Yes.
I love how it's a very settled film. It's a very, like, soft beginning. Like, you know, he's relaxing on this European vacation. This is the one where Nick Fury comes in.
Yeah.
This is the one where Nick Fury comes in because now he needs help fighting. He's sending him on this mission because he needs help fighting all of these evil, like, entities that are... And then he winds up teaming up with Mysterio.
Yeah.
And
then you tap dance around something I was going to bring up later, but I want to see if someone else brings it up first. Go ahead.
Scrolls. And so,
damn you.
And so
you're not supposed to say the thing I'm thinking.
I liked the whole dynamic of... It's the same thing like the Deadpool and Wolverine. They start as kind of like frenemies or not even... Yeah. And so they wind up teaming up in the end to enjoyed that.
I'm going to go with my favorite part, of course, being the end with J. Jonah Jameson right there. That was fantastic. I will say this is probably my least favorite of the Spider-Mans because I had such high expectations for Mysterio, and then it just kind of just went.
It was so high in the beginning because you knew where it was going. Like, and you saw it coming from a mile away. I do like the tech. I do like how he was kind of like a little bit of a narcissist. I like how he was a jerk off to his own crew. He puts the robots at them and everything. And then, like someone said, Skrulls. I like the fact that we had the Skrulls in this because now it's set up like interspace. And you're like, wait a minute.
Find out Fury's in a space vacation. Yeah, exactly. The whole time.
Yeah. So now we have the newest one, Spider-Man No Way Home, which is a direct story from One More Day. And it's 100% One More Day. And the thing is that, again, they kind of play off it from the last movie because, Aunt May dies.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought maybe the end of, after everything that happens with No Way Home, that's Mephisto manipulating things. Because I wonder, because not as in Doctor Strange, he's Doctor Strange because everyone was saying that. The devil's in plain sight. There were signs all over the place. Mm-hmm. Marvel knew exactly what they were doing with those movies. They were going to mess with everybody. They had people dressed up as a devil in it, blah, blah, blah. So the one thing that I really liked about that, let's start from the beginning, is the fact that it starts directly right after Far From Home. Yep. Great way. That's why I felt like it was a filler, because it went straight. That story should have just transitioned a little bit like quicker. But it didn't. It jumped right into it. Like, it should have been like, oh, I'm here, this. And then the story happens. But this was him swimming home. Hey, listen, there's something you need to know. I don't know if you heard about this yet. They found out I'm Spider-Man. What? You know? And then what does he do? He goes to Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange, he screws up the spell. Spell makes a split. All the villains start popping up. They have to go chase them, just like Pokemon. Put them in a cage, or Ghostbusters, however you want to put it. They have to put them in a freaking, what's it called? I'm not wrong. And
you catch them all.
Yeah. So then they get out, and then he goes, "All right, I don't want to kill them," because apparently he has a conscience all of a sudden. These people, like, he doesn't.
Well, he thought about it. Well, and when the other Spider-Mans came in, they all realized that these all they've been. Pulled out from the reality the moment before they were supposed to die.
Exactly. Yeah. So now it's so like,
maybe you can change it.
And that's the thing. It's like, you're told you can't change it. These people are going to die. It's like, well, we have to try and save them anyway. It's like, let's make them good people and then kill them. You know, it's like, why not just try making them fit in our world? How about that? And just make them stay here. This way they don't go back to their world, but that's a different story. That's not me. I'm not a director.
That might cause things with the universe. Yeah.
So now, anyway, we get to the fact that they all go evil. Even though Spider-Man tries helping them, and...
Doc Ock doesn't.
Exactly, which they touched in the movie, because at the end he's about to die. He does the little inhibitor. That ship breaks, and then that's the moment when he gets pulled out of his reality, because now he's controlled the arms. Spider-Man is actually trying to get his friends into college because he screwed up and he put them out of college because now everyone knows he's Spider-Man. Yes. They don't want to be associated with him. So he's dealing the fact with the No Way Home, the one more day where Aunt May gets shot, and now he has to make a deal with Mephisto in order to sit there and make everyone forget. So they just went, they did a lot of extra work to get to that point, but that's where we're at now. He's trying to fight these guys off because it's in order to save the spell, right?
Yes,
because he has to sit there and
after that little box.
Exactly, the box, so he has to sit there and figure it out what's going on with that. So each villain comes out iconically. Shocker comes out through the woods.
Sandman's with him first.
It's really great storytelling. And then, like I said, he makes friends with them. He tries helping them. He doesn't work. Green Goblin with the most iconic line in the movie. That's a nice trick there. You got that spider of yours. Great. And then
Shut up, lapdog.
Exactly. So now basically we have him convert the rest of the teams. I'm like, let's just go full evil and just stay here. So now Doc Ock gets a little beaten. Peter Parker actually gets out. Fought for the first time, which is really kind of cool, because now in all the other movies he just kind of got like beat up by something way bigger than him. This is the first time a human being has actually beat the living crap out of him and like threw him through floors, through windows and everything,
power bombs and everything.
Exactly. And then he loses his aunt, and then that kind of like he meets up with the other Spider-Man, and they kind of realize, oh, you know, with great power, and then they all kind of bond and they have this plan, and then they go, you know what, this is the way that we're supposed to do it. We have to save them. They go into the fight. They stop all the villains, and they send them back to realities. But the only problem is Green Goblin and him did a lot of damage, and they couldn't get everything done in time because Green Goblin put the bomb inside the time cube, and then it blows up, and it makes the whole thing rip right open, which is the same color of Kang, by the way. I like to point that out. And then you see all the characters. You see Gwen Stacy, you see Black Cat, Scorpion, and all these other villains that knew who Spider-Man was. It was supposed to rip open the multiverse. Same colors that you saw in Kang the Conqueror.
Purple.
And Loki. So now they're trying to figure out something, and then Spider-Man does the ultimate thing, make everyone forget me, which is really, I mean, it was a tap out. It could have been done a lot better. I would have just sat there and said, I don't know, take away my powers, and then he's depowered. And that would have been, I think, for a better story, and no one remembers who I am. You know, but it's just me.
If he gets depowered, it also can set up Venom in his universe.
Exactly. And that's how he gets the powers, because, you know, something happens with him and Venom. So.
And Venom was in the movie because it was at the very end.
That's
right.
Yeah. That's the next thing. All right. No Way Home.
Let's see. That actually.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Then he ends up going into the world as Peter Parker. No one knows who he is. Mm-hmm. Aunt May, he sees Happy at the funeral. He now has what's it called? The free ability to do whatever he wants again. And now he realizes he has to do all this stuff. He tries to get back Mary Jane. Mary Jane kind of remembers him. And in the comic, One More Day, Mephisto even says, "Ripping apart a true love like yours and Mary Jane's is the most ultimate pleasure I could ever give myself, because that is true love. And destroying that makes me absolutely, absolutely like over the moon, you know? Like, that gives me the most vile thing I've ever done to this world." And you could see them kind of like...
They wanted to hint towards
it. She kind of like, I know this feeling from him. So, yeah, that's it. No Way Home.
My favorite of all the Spider-Man movies.
Absolutely greatest.
They put everything in there. Yeah. I also like the... At the end of the movie, he gets his classic suit.
Yes, too. The classic 1960s suit.
Yes, the... who's the guy that designed that suit? In the comics, remember?
Yeah, I don't know people's names in comics. I forget
who it was, but it was that based off of him.
Yeah.
And I love the Norman Osborn. They gave Green Goblin his more comic accurate suit. Because had the sweat shorts and the hood on the outside, and it was purple, but the green armor underneath had that look with the hoodie.
With the hoodie and everything.
And you don't need to do anything to the face. Because he has that look. Yeah. What I would have done maybe with the face was like, maybe somehow green paint or something gets splashed on his face.
That'd have been funny,
And he would have just looked like the Goblin.
He flies into like a green spray can store. Because they have those.
And now he just looks like a goblin.
There you go. I like it because it was like, I feel like Peter Parker was really challenged. I think he really understood the importance of like being Superman, because now he's challenged. He's now out of his skin.
He had to learn how to be Superman.
Did I say that again? Yes. What is my problem?
Don't worry, we're all a little dumb today.
I think I'm getting, this is where mommy gets sleeping. Yeah. but I think that he gets really challenged because now he's exposed and everybody knows who he is. And it's just a very real, I thought this was a very emotional movie. And I felt like a lot of raw emotion was exposed or felt. And I thought it was a very good film.
Very good film.
The best parts were seeing all the Spider-Mans working together. They had those moments there together. It's like Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3. Which Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 3? Great. And then the second best moment was when Andrew Garfield got to save Mary Jane.
I left that for somebody on the table. I'm leaving some for you guys. Yeah. When he saved her, the whole entire audience went nuts. And he's like, she's like, "Are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm fine." Another thing that people don't realize, a little under the radar stuff. I mean, some people do, some people don't. When they're making the cures and trying to help everyone out, Andrew Garfield goes, "I got this, no problem. I beat the lizard." It was right there in front of everyone's face. Like,
because
he did it before.
He's the most scientific of the
three. He's the most scientific.
Each Spider-Man had like a different aspect of like Peter Parker in the comics. Like, I had the strongest aspect.
Yep.
Like, Tobey Maguire was like the more mature adult version of Peter. Yeah. Like, the one we knew that went through everything. Andrew Garfield was the more scientific. And then Tom Holland was the more young, high school, hopeful Peter. Yep. Like, futures ahead of him. Still just learning this thing.
Tom Holland's
handsome
too.
Everyone can be saved is what he thought. Exactly. Everyone can be saved.
Yes.
Exactly. And the best thing about all those movies combined is they created a great character in Spider-Man. Like, he came back with the 1960s comic. So I wonder if we're going to see him. That was a way of pulling him back from like the outer space and the multiverse and all this other stuff. And so now he could be like a street level Spider-Man. Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
I think that's what they're going to go for. That's why. Because it's hence that Daredevil. Oh, that's what we forgot. Daredevil's cameo.
Charlie Cox,
Charlie Cox.
Catches the brick.
How'd you do that?
I'm a good lawyer.
I'm a good lawyer.
There's a rumor that they might have him team up in a Spider-Man movie. People want Kingpin to show up in a Spider-Man movie.
Well, he should, because he's going to be mayor. He's going to be the mayor. He's going to run for mayor like he does in the comics.
Oh, that's who it was. Steve Ditko is the guy that designed it. Yes, from the comics.
Side note, I'm 100% sure. I mean, it's a great team up in the comics, but I'm pretty sure we're going to see it eventually. Pretty sure we're gonna see Deadpool and Spider-Man.
They gotta team up.
They gotta. It's so
at least do
such
something
rich history.
War or something.
Exactly. It's such rich. No, that needs to be its own series.
Its own movie.
Its own movie. If not two, because those two together are comic gold.
Yeah, I can see a Deadpool 4 featuring Spider-Man.
Yep.
If you want to see them team up, there's actually an episode of Ultimate Spider-Man where they team together.
They did in the comic. Yeah.
No, in the TV show.
You're right. You're right. In the comic books, Deadpool's
Will
a jerk.
Will Friedle, voice of Batman Beyond, is the voice of Deadpool in that
episode. Ooh.
Yes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we covered Spider-Man. Next time, I might have a little surprise for you guys.
Can we please do an Iron Man episode? So
you know what? Yes, we'll do Iron Man next time. How about that?
We'll do Iron Man movies.
Well, we got to tie in the Avengers and stuff like that.
Not just his movies, but things he appeared in.
Yeah, exactly. Spider-Man's a little easier because he just had the movies.
You mean Superman? Kidding.
Steel Man?
Iron Man has, from a personal, Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
Has the best comeback of like all time, and he deserves to be recognized.
He comes a long way from being found butt naked in somebody's house high.
Exactly. So now being one of some kids' biggest.
Imagine it happened now. Look, Mom, it's Iron Man.
Oh, boy.
So, all right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next time. We were going to sit there and get out of here, but we got some little stuff coming up. We have this Saturday, Queens Elks Lodge.
Yes, Elks Lodge.
Queens Elks Lodge, WWX, and One Division Pro.
You're in it, aren't you?
I'm in that show, baby.
Because you did something really, really bad that last show. You cost our champion his title.
What?
We thought you were trying to get in his good graces to help him, but it turns out you were not a helper.
This is what happened.
You were Mysterio. I was. You were the Mysterio of that match.
Screw you, Hyenax, because I tried sitting there and you shoved the cake. I tried helping you shove the cake in my face. You shoved the cake in my face. That literally stayed there. That's how thick that cake was, by the way.
We did eat some of the cake. I made sure to cut the part that didn't touch your face.
I ate the part that touched my face. Take that, Hyenax. I'm still eating my cake. Ladies and gentlemen, episode 16 is in the bank. We'll see you in 2 weeks, and ladies and gentlemen, we did it!
Yeah!
Woo! Done! Woo! Jesus, that was one of the longest episodes.
So you
Spider-Man! Na-na-na, 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 cut it now, cut.